This Marto, Ed and Robin.
We all just forgot what was on the show today. Not Ed Cavalier, not this guy. Mate. He's a consummate professional. What happened, Ed?
Mind is a steel trap. Robin Bailey embarrassed her son in before his formal. You'll hear some of that. It was shocking audio. Shocking audio.
Okay, look, for a start, he was asleep, which is why I've got away with it. And secondly, I thought you would be interested in what was happening at the formal. I was just trying to contribute.
No, they're too young to be interested in.
Okay.
That's the problem. Right. You were suggesting that it could go further than just a quick date.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you did.
I think you did.
Also, Chappelle Corby's on her way home. A beautiful event. A beautiful event for young Chappelle, which is nice. Mm. And for beanies for brain cancer around in the NRL, Broncos CEO came on, Paul White, who's obviously the CEO of the Broncos, Marto, but also a great bloke and has been through brain cancer. So he was very
Anyone who scheduled their wedding at the wrong time, like the CEO of the Broncos, his daughter's wedding on the same night as a Broncos
game. I did
ask. Well played, son.
I figured that wasn't to be allowed, but there you go.
Plenty on with the catch-up. We'll speak to you soon, Ease.
Catch up for sellmycar.com.au. Sell your car without the aggro. Book an appointment today. 104.5, the new Triple M.
Yeah, look, Robin, you and you're on one side. Marto and I are on the other side here, which happens from time to time.
Like all the time.
The return of
our great cult hero, Chappelle
Corby. Just done time in Bali for drugs. How can you be a cult hero?
Allegedly.
No, she got done, buddy.
Yeah, man.
There is no
Whenever
alleged.
I talk about anyone, you always got to go, you got to say allegedly.
Yeah. Love it. Not
no,
in this case.
Not
she
in
was
this right. Case.
Okay.
Okay, right. You can say that. You're wrong, but don't worry.
But she's coming home, man.
Yeah. I know. You two want to do a ticker tape parade.
Not ticker tape, waste sweet. Of yeah. stuff. No, just banners and just general so she feels the love as she comes down the M1.
Australia's sweetheart is returning and her sister Mercedes has asked that people should leave Chappelle alone. Mm-hmm. And that's one message that's coming out. But I've got wind of a party that's been planned.
Oh,
and
what
I'll
sort of party?
Well, I'll play you the I'll play you the promo that's running around on other stations, not on this fine network.
No.
And you guys
what?
Can tell me whether or not you think that this is appropriate.
Check this out. She's coming home, she's coming home. Chappelle Corby is coming home. Australia's sweetheart is coming home. Chappelle's Welcome Back to Australia shindig is on this weekend. It's a party with at least 4.2 kilograms of fun. There's a chill zone, a chill out zone, and a chill zone. Live performances from Cypress Hill, the Resin Dogs, the Jamaican Bongo Collective, and the Nimbin Centrelink Choir. Buffalo Soldier in the heart of the choir. Your chance to get up close and personal with Mercedes Corby.
If you come near me, I will bite you.
To win tickets, send your name and address in a locked boogie board bag to Chappelle's Coming Home, care of Kerobokan Prison, Indonesia. Catering by Snoop Dogg, Cookies and Brownies. Ordinary Australians are excited to welcome Chappelle home.
My name's Mary Jane, and I've got my tickets.
Mary Jane's going to be there, and so can you. Get your tickets now. They will sell out. Don't mull over it, or you will be green with envy. Use the hashtag Welcome Home Chappelle. Don't let your chance go up in smoke.
Sounds wild.
Class.
It's all over the papers today. It's in the Telegraph. It's in the Courier Mail. It's everywhere you look. They're calling it one of the biggest potential frauds of all time. In and around the tax, Australian tax office, $165 million worth. 9 people charged. There's been 18 residential properties seized. 2 planes seized.
What a story.
What made it so salacious is that a big boss at the ATO and his son are all caught up in it. And to try and make a bit more sense of it is Nick Hansen, the crime reporter from the Daily Telegraph. Huge report from him today in the telly. G'day, Nick. What on earth is going on?
Hi, Ed. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty elaborate, and it was an elaborate scheme, and there was an extraordinary loot that appeared to go with it. But yeah, $165 million, it's a huge amount of money. It's important to note that the Australian Federal Police looked at a 12-month snapshot of this scheme. So there's a good chance the sum is much greater. Yeah. And as you say, yesterday, they they paraded before the media the all the assets they had seized when they went on raids across Sydney on Wednesday, and they included all those properties, 25 cars. The son of a deputy tax commissioner who's been, I guess, charged with being one of the core conspirators, actually had his own race car team.
Oh my God!
And had, you know, and obviously had a penchant for Porsches and open top sports cars and that kind of thing. So it's got all the colour you could possibly want, but it's obviously a lot more serious than that, given it stretches right to the heart of our tax system.
Nick, I see this guy had a financial services company. Was he offering ways to minimise tax? Is that where it sort of started and then got out of control?
Sort of. He had a company that was a financial services company. They went off and started a company called Plutus Payroll, which offered, you know, lots of IT companies and other companies their payroll services. They come up, they said,
"We'll
come on,
sort
we'll
it out it. For you.
We'll pay all your staff for you. Well, it's a zero joining fee and all this sort of thing." Made the offer too good to refuse. Then, as they paid their staff, they funneled it through a system of shady, what they called second tier accounts with straw man directors. These were literally just punters off the street or people they found on welfare. They pay them a fee to let them essentially sell their identity. Oh. So they would set up another company in their name, and those people would cede control of those companies and the accounts over to these syndicate operators.
Right, because I read, Nick, sorry to cut in, but I read it was like unemployed tradies and just people just hanging around, like sleeping all day, and then they're being asked about being if they're the directors of a company.
Exactly. And these guys, I mean, I presume a few of them are getting a root shot now. But there's also reports out today in our stories of how this quite broad spectrum of people, relationships began to sour and things got a bit nasty between them. You wonder how they thought, that's all alleged at this point, but how they allegedly thought they could get away with this for so long. But essentially what was happening was the money would flow back to the workers of these companies, but on the way through, they would withhold income tax that they're meant to give the ATO and essentially, allegedly, just not give it all to the ATO. They would give a little bit, enough to keep the boss happy, enough to keep the ATO at bay, but keep a little bit for themselves, but doing it on a massive scale.
How did they get busted?
Robin, I think they thought they'd hit a sweet spot where they were doing it on a level that wouldn't have aroused suspicion at the ATO. But as it turns out, the AFP and the ATO did find out. The ATO froze Plutus Payroll's accounts early this year and said, "Hang on a minute, you owe us money." And all of a sudden, the workers of those companies didn't get paid 1 week.
Jeez.
And so that's when things really, really got nasty. But at the same time, the Australian Federal Police were already onto them. They knew who they were.
Well, it's a huge story. Nick Hansen, crime reporter. Massive story in the Daily Telegraph.
And in the Courier as well, don't worry.
And in the Courier Mail today. I'm just looking at both papers. So it's a big story. Nick, mate, thanks for your time. We'll see what happens.
No, no, thanks, Ed. See you guys.
Hey, listen, let's talk league. I want to know. I want an investigation into what happened after I went to bed last night. It was 14-0. I was weighted up for the first 8 minutes or so, and I'm reading about it this morning. What was my reaction when I saw that Cronulla won 18-14?
You said something unkind to Brendan because you said that he was the one that told you to tip the Cowboys.
I did do that.
What's my saying?
Yeah, you don't lose to the Sharks in the dark.
You don't beat the Sharks
the
in the dark at the park.
Yes.
And that's where we were last. And you said, "Oh, I don't know, the Cowboys looking good." I tipped, Robin, I don't know. Who did you tip? Do I really care? I don't know.
I think I tipped the Cowboys.
You would have tipped the Cowboys.
I would have.
We're both sitting here, 0-1. Yeah. They were up 14-0 until the 50th minute mark. Maloney scores a try. All right, Ed, tell everyone what with the stuff we talk about while songs are on. Fifita. Oh, my God.
I'm genuinely worried about Andrew Fifita at the Origin, Robin and Mato, because he's enormous and he's twinkle-toed. And
the guy you said that was fat.
He's large around the middle, which means, which was Martin Bella's old trick. Martin Bella invented this.
Couldn't fit your arms around him.
Yeah, you make yourself extremely strong in the legs and shoulders, and then you have this sort of tire around the middle, and you can't bring him down. I'm very worried about him, Mudder. He's playing fantastically.
Still got a stupid haircut, but I've got to acknowledge.
No, he doesn't. No, he cut it. He's cut the hair as well.
So you should have stayed up.
Oh, no, I did stay. In the first half, he was good enough. I know he has cut it off. Sorry, I've got my old old hatred of
him. You're okay, mate. You're okay. Yeah. So tell us.
Hey, listen, I did want to talk about last night. You know the beanies for brain cancer? Did you see the crowd last night? They're everywhere. Yeah. Everyone had them. I didn't realise, because we're going to try to talk to Paul White, CEO of the Broncos, a little later. He had brain cancer, so he's right behind it. And yesterday we spoke about Brett Camorley. His wife died of brain cancer. He's behind it. But where it started from in terms of rugby league is a guy called Matt Callander, all right, who's been the executive producer of the Footy Show on Channel 9 and all the footy broadcasts for years, for like 20 years.
Wow.
He got it early last year. Unfortunately for him last night, I just want to play a little bit of him because he is a fair dinkum bloke. Brad Fittler had him on the sideline, so I don't need to hear anything from Brad, of course, because he's always slapping walls.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. Yep.
Let's just hear from Matt Callander. It was really heartfelt. I think this is one of the best things the NRL's done.
I'm excited about the whole concept. It was only 12 months ago that I had the seizure and was diagnosed with brain tumour, and I knew the great work, as Andrew said, that Mark Hughes was doing. So we went straight to the NRL and they were on board straight away with the idea of having everyone wear a beanie for brain cancer in round 11. So it's just been wonderful, and you see how many people are here.
Every commentator had, every broadcaster, everyone had beanies on. It looked magnificent.
Cool.
I'm hoping the same thing happens at Suncorp tonight. Now, I don't know whether this is why Rabs got a bit funny at times last night. But there was something happened. Yeah, if you weren't watching closely, it was about 8:21 I had written down when I saw this. Now, there's a thing called, you know, when you have a kick and there's a the chase is trying to get to the ball, kick, the ball that's been kicked, and the guy who's catching the ball, he has a guy in front of him, you know, that's sort of, you know, is getting in the way, pretending.
Sort of shields him.
I'm getting back to the ball, but he's also shielding. That, there's a term for that I didn't realise, first time I'd heard it. It's called escorting.
Oh.
And then when Rabs got told this, let's just have a listen when Rabs got told this new term by Gus Gould.
They call it escorting rabbits. It's the whole new jargon that
I understand the word escort. It's been a long time since I've had an escort, but I understand what you mean.
Really, Rabs? Wow.
You know it's not good when Andrew John starts cracking up in the background.
When he's surprised.
Do you reckon that's true?
It's been a while, or that he ever did.
Well, either.
I think there was the 82 kangaroo tour. There was a bit of escorting going on.
I think that Rabs thinks that, okay, I'm trying to help him out here. Yeah.
Your explanation.
I think that Rabs means like a date, not his wife. So I think he thinks it means like going
girlfriend.
Out.
Like the traditional idea of, just that's true. That's what an escort is.
Yes.
Terminology it is.
I don't think Rabs had the paper open it back three pages and although I did hear him at one point saying, just arrived from Taiwan. Wow.
Does anyone know what we're talking about?
That's in the paper.
It's more about you than us if you know what Ed just spoke about.
Formal season in your household, Robin Bailey.
Oh, man, what a massive 24 hours. You know, my biggest challenge last night, because my eldest son, Finn, had his formal, was that I wasn't letting myself cry in front of him, because if he'd seen me cry, it would have got really cross at me.
What would you have been crying at?
Because it's fully emotional, like, to see, you know, like, I see my little baby grow up and become this, like, gorgeous man, and it was kind of sad his dad wasn't there, and it was
I get it. Okay, so I'm looking at the photos that you've sent me, and he scrubs up very nicely.
Did he hire that suit or buy it?
No, we bought it. It took a long time because he's a skinny little thing.
That won't last long.
And do you like the shots of his beautiful date, Emily? He only met her last night. There was a bit of drama about 10 days ago with the friend that he'd invited who pulled out, so we had to find someone at notice.
A lovely young lady.
She's gorgeous.
So there's a weird photo where you've insisted on having a photo of her, your son in the middle, and then you on the end.
I know that's weird.
Why did you do that? That's a very weird photo.
Oh, that was...
He doesn't look very happy. He's like, what is this? What is my mother making this
weirder for the girl?
I kept inserting myself in inappropriate times and places because I wanted to just remember this whole moment.
Why did you need to be involved?
Because I'm his mum, and as I said, it's a big deal. I know there were lots of photos of just him and her, but at the pre, before they were heading off to the formal, I asked all of the guys, and there were 12 in total, whether they wanted to have a chat to me, that I could bring it back to you guys. And the only two that would, the boys would not at all, under no circumstances.
Hold on.
And that was pretty much it. Yeah. But the lovely Emily, who is Finn's date, and her girlfriend Drew were the only two that were willing to have a chat.
You didn't corner these poor girls.
I did. Oh, no, it gets worse because I asked a really inappropriate question. Yeah. And then when Brendo just heard it, he went, Robin, that's so awkward.
Can we hear it, please? Let's hear it.
We
got to
have
it.
We got to have it.
Here it is.
What happens after the formal? Do you go to the post?
I'm not sure if I am. I'm not sure if I'm going to go yet. I'll decide.
We've heard that it goes depends. To the early hours of the morning.
To expect a kiss?
Yeah. Maybe. Just decide. Okay, right. I can't even believe I want to know that.
I was unsure of what was being asked for a second, and I was like, oh.
You might have to initiate it. I'm just saying that.
So, Robin, that's what three grown men cringing looks like. That's disgusting.
God.
What are you doing? So, this poor girl, she's stepped up. She looks great. She's volunteered to go
she's
with your son.
Out.
She's helped out. And A, are you going to kiss him? And B, he's too much of a wimp to do it, so you're going to have to...
He's not too wimpy. He's just too polite and lovely.
Oh, Robin.
Robin. You going to school this week with him?
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm a rookie at this. This is my first child. By the time the 12-year-old gets there, I'll have it down pat.
Step away.
Clearly, I should have spoken to you blokes
first. Just come over here, love. I just want to measure you up for this bail.
Yep.
No!
Wow.
Gave it a crack. I thought you'd want to hear what was going on. None of the boys would talk to me.
That's why.
Oh.
Whoa.
Quarter past eight. On the new Triple M.
That hurts.
Not that bad.
So he's not home yet, though, is he?
Not good.
No, but I did find him at 3 o'clock, so I know he's alive.
It's good to know.
Alive.
Jeez.
And not talking to me until he turns 25.
Nope.
That hurts.
Marto, Ed and Robin, new Triple M.
Oh, big night for the Broncos tonight. We all know that. West Tigers, and we've given away some tickets. So exciting. I know it'll be a wet night, be an interesting one. And we've got the CEO of the Broncos. He'll be so excited to be there at Suncorp tonight. Paul White, morning, mate.
Morning, Marto. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, I said you'd be going. Where are you really going tonight, Whitey?
I've got a wedding on. My first wedding. My eldest daughter's getting married up here at the end of the station, Marto. So I'm out looking over the cows eating their grass at the moment, mate.
Oh, you're too
good on you, mate.
Is that the ginger factory there?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty exciting day. The weather's not terrific, but they say it's good luck if there's a bit of rain around on your wedding day.
Yes, they do. I'm surprised you let her actually get married during the footy season.
Well, the NRL a bit recalcitrant with their draw release, and once they got engaged, they booked this date, and so it was obviously always going to take priority. So it's
Broncos play nearly every Friday. I think you're onto it.
Yeah, Thursdays too.
Oh yeah,
Thursdays.
Hey, Whitey, we rang up about how wonderful it's been. We're talking about Brett Camorley. We've been talking about the commentary last night. You know, and the crowd last night down there at Shark Park, and also Mark Hughes Foundation. Mate, can you talk to what does it mean to you, the beanie for brain cancer round, to you, because you were diagnosed a couple of years ago?
I've got to say how proud I am of our game. I know we're not a game that everyone loves and embraces, and we can give ourselves a black eye, but to think that rugby league has in a single weekend really changed the whole dynamics for the promotion around brain cancer, the horrible mortality rate that this disease inflicts on people right around the country. We had an aspirational target when we sat down, Matt Callender, myself, Mark Hughes, Paul Harrigan, and some great people within the television networks, of raising $400,000. And as of last night, it was almost $1 million. So that's going to give us the capability to put two full-time researchers on at, I think, one of the hospitals in Sydney. And it is an absolute game-changer. To think that rugby league's been able to deliver that really in a very short space of time, and the capacity of sport to make such a huge difference, you know, in terms of getting some big issues out there. I'm really proud of that because I never would have thought that was possible.
Paul, how are you? Because I obviously wrongly thought that brain cancer was like pancreatic cancer, that when you were diagnosed, that was kind of it. But, you know, you're doing really well.
Yeah. Well, I sort of, because there's not a great deal of awareness, obviously, I had a seizure 2 years ago and I thought I was gone, to be honest. I thought I was having a heart attack or a stroke. So It wasn't a great day for me. I was subsequently diagnosed. They did a biopsy. Mine's inoperable. It was malignant, but it was a lower grade. So It was highly treatable with the treatments that they now know can work. So I had radiation and I've been on chemotherapy really for 2 years. So I'm winning the battle, but I guess you sort of you live with it in your hip pocket, if that makes sense, because there's not a lot known about the disease. It was a primary tumour of mine. It wasn't a secondary. I'd never had cancer or any indications of that. So not a lot's known, and that's the reason that research is so important. And research is highly competitive in Australia and all right around the world. So to highlight it this weekend and for me to be, you know, a vehicle to highlight it, I'm only too happy to do that, because I did get to meet Brett Kamal, and I don't know whether anyone saw.
We had it on yesterday, mate.
It was, and I was sort of with him there. It was so hard for that man to get up there and speak, but all he wanted to, the message he wanted to get out there, he just didn't, you know, he doesn't want anyone else to go through what he's going through. And I'm a father of four daughters, so it sort of hit a chord with me. So,
mate, you're walking your first one down the aisle this afternoon.
Yeah. I had a rehearsal yesterday. I had a bit of a howl, so hopefully got that out of the way.
Is Busby and Maru playing at the wedding, because that's your brother-in-law?
Yeah, no, they are. Tommy's the MC, so we're a family of singers, and I count myself as one, Marto.
No, you're not.
Wonderful. Wow. Here he is with Celine Dion's classic, My Heart Will Go On. Paul White, Broncos CEO, take it away.
I can't. If I'd had a few beers, guys, I'd have a...
Okay, next.
I want to see the father of the bride jumping up when the Broncos scored tonight halfway through the speeches. Enjoy, mate.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Hey, listen, Well, I was just saying that we've been talking about this off air, and the way to describe this is that you might have to be about to launch an attack on the homeless people of Queensland.
Hold on, that is the worst introduction, because now I think about it, it may be misconstrued as that. All right. I asked Kath last night, she's home from work, we're having our catch-up. I said, how was work, la, la, la. She said, I saw the most amazing thing at Woolies today. My wife works in retail, merchandise, whatever you want to call it. She redesigns shelves and stuff like that. All right, she's at Woolies yesterday. Okay, and she said this is happening around Australia. Robin, you've said that you have some knowledge of this. At the front door of Woolies now, they have this large table with a big basket on it, free fruit.
Yeah, big sign saying free fruit for kids. And Jamie Oliver's been fronting that campaign.
What a wonderful idea. Yeah. Well done, Woolies. Fresh food people, is that what they are?
Yeah, except. Right.
Well, I understand what it's for, and it's what a good thing. Jam this into your kid so you don't grab chocolates and lollies and stuff like that. Lovely idea. All right, so Kath's working nearby where near the front door where the bowl was.
Yeah.
And she looked over and it was empty, and it was sort of 10 o'clock or so, and she's going, they'll fill it, and they did. And then she realised why it's empty. People, and it is there was a deal of homeless people, isn't it, in a city, Woolies? Well, they're not listening, mate. Definitely. How many homeless? All right, give us a yell. 1-4-3-5-3 if you're homeless and listening and you're taking offense.
Like it.
Oh, God. Listen, I'm just telling you stories that happen. What's happening is the homeless. Are you going to boo again?
No, I'm waiting for you to.
The homeless type people are coming into the store and just jamming it into their jackets and doing a U-turn and walking straight out again.
I don't have a problem with that.
Is that right?
Have you not seen that? What's the chaser guy, Rucastle?
Yeah, Craig Rucastle.
About the waste.
About how much waste are being, thrown out by the major supermarket chains. Like, if homeless people, if they're going to give free fruit to the homeless, yay team.
You know, and at my local Coles in Paddington, they've taken it to the extreme.
Yes,
because at yours, with Kath, it's homeless people obviously who want some food.
Who's
and they
grabbing
come
it
in.
At Paddington?
But in Paddington, they've got this thing called Backpackers Eat Free, where backpackers just come in and stuff mee goreng noodles up their jumpers and walk out, and no one says anything.
I don't want to support the backpackers. I'm okay with the homeless.
I know they're thieves. The backpackers are just out and out thieves.
Oh,
well,
I've told you that, don't you dare boo me.
Do you reckon? Yeah, no, we'll give it.
But they're not listening either. See, I'm keen to offend anyone who's not listening.
Anyone else you want to take a shot at?
I don't know. Someone will get me into trouble. But let's say homeless and backpacking people. They're of no use to me whatsoever, either of those two groups.
Boo his.
I just wanted to alert Wooly so they're onto it.
But you don't think they've worked it out?
The kitties are missing out. The poor little kitties are missing out on their fruit.
Do you not think Woolies have worked that out themselves?
Oh, yeah. They need to take that free table up near the back and make them come into the store a bit further. Because at the moment, they're just poking their head in.
Stop booing, mate. You're close to me, actually.
What?
Actually.
Uh-oh.
No, you're on a yellow. You're on a yellow. No good.
Man, we missed that yesterday.
Why don't we
Ed
put some free...
Ed just didn't have a yellow card.
Why don't we put some free soap out in that same thing? Go and have a tub. That's backpackers and homeless people.
You're up, pal.
No, just
we're not
going to
lose any
rope.
Listeners
You'll
over
keep
this.
He's hanging himself. Yeah. Go on.
Well, how many homeless people listeners? Well, we're really down in the homeless demographic. Good on you.
Stop it. Homeless people have a right to free fruit and to listen to Triple M.
Yeah. Well, they're not listening to Triple M. Until they put free batteries. Free batteries for their trannies. That's a transistor radio.
Okay, let's talk about the roads because it's going to be fairly wet and slippery today and with this rain event happening across the weekend. Wheels Magazine are having a crack at people, the authorities, about the road toll because the road toll has gone up in the last 4 years.
Has it?
Yeah, it has. A 4-year high of 1,300 deaths. And in Western Australia, it had a 20% increase, which is quite phenomenal. Victoria had a 15%. We weren't so bad. We were just under 10. But they're saying, the authorities that be, an investigation by leading publication Wheels has found a collective blinkered approach to road safety, with speed seeming to be the only culprit in the minds of our policymakers.
That's because it makes them money.
Well, they're claiming that that's the only reason why the road toll has gone up in 4 years. Now, keep in mind, it's 4 years, and I think that's important.
Hold on. The authorities are saying speeding is it.
Yeah, that's it. And I just think
what are Wheels saying?
Well, they're just saying
texting.
That's the point.
Uh-huh. Just stop right at texting. That's the only reason anything's going up, because people aren't watching the bloody road.
I think it's worth a chat, though. 133353, why do you think the road toll's going up? Because I would also say that, I don't know, I see a lot of P platers. Maybe it's just because my son's nearly on his P's. And I mean, they would have probably always been there. Is it just the phones?
Ice. Good question. What?
Did you just say ice?
Yeah. Maybe people driving, yeah. Well,
you know what, though? There has, the whole drug culture. Yeah, why not? Maybe.
Sadly, the road toll is going up. We know that we speak to people who do a lot of driving and you're out there on your roads a lot.
Nobody drives more than Triple M listeners. I have no doubt our men and women are driving more than any other listeners and they'll know.
Okay. Why do you think the road toll is sadly going up?
Triple M listeners love to drive, so they will have a far more definitive answer. Nick of Tanimera.
Hello, how are you this morning?
Yeah, what's your credibility, mate, driving-wise?
I do a little bit of driving all around the country. I go to Windy down the coast, to Lismore or whatever, so I do get around a little bit.
You qualify
world expert.
Yes, well done.
Fair enough. The annoying bit is as I'm just driving around people in front of me, doing 110 and 110 zone, and they're doing much less, and it's not running that hard.
Okay, so do you think that was that a lack of knowledge or lack of experience on the roads then? Why would you say the road toll's going up?
But don't teach the young fellas how to drive properly or the young people how to drive properly. And now they've got an app come out or whatever. I can just log my hours because I'm a smart young fella or whatever. I can just use my phone. It's more dependent on the phone.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's a combination of lack of education going in and then they're addicted to their phones. That's absolutely fair enough. I think we might hear that a bit.
I would also say, as I've got a young guy who's just hit his 100 hours, that I do think, and a lot of people won't be happy about this, but they should have compulsory driving instructor hours. So if you have to do 100, then 90 you can do with your family, but you probably should do 10 with someone who knows what they're doing,
but
as
you
opposed
know what,
to me.
You know what that gives you? You know it gives you triple, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it
counts
does.
For 3 hours every
but
1 hour.
But it's not compulsory. Oh, okay. Yeah. So if
isn't
they
isn't that compulsory?
No, they.
So the scabs don't do it.
Well,
some people can't
afford to.
Oh no, I'm with you. You got to do that because I remember our kids came back after doing it with that. They did some training with me, then did it with the proper instructors. They showed them this. It improved my driving.
Yeah,
I remember.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. That's what you're supposed to do when you're driving.
Damo of Deception Bay, what do you reckon? Why do you think the road toll's going up?
I agree with you, actually, Robin, that I actually think there'd be a flow-on effect that would help industry as well if they was compulsory that they had to do some hours with a driving instructor. That would also help boost the instructor industry, I guess. Probably more so what I see on the road is the amount of people that drive tired.
Ooh, tired.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, look, you see it all the time, particularly around in between about that 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning, people having trouble keeping their car in the lane. Look, three times in the last 6 months I've pulled up at accidents where people are falling asleep.
Aha. Uh-huh. What are you, you driving a truck or something?
Yeah.
That is so true, man. How many times have we, let's be honest, we're all brekkie radio announcers who don't get enough sleep. Many times I've had to ring girlfriends or like my family and go, I'm really tired, you need to talk me home.
That's why I ride a bike to work every day. Because I used to get to work and not remember it. I'd go, oh, like you'd be in that half zone, half awake, half asleep.
I think that's a really good call. That's it's a good stat there.
What do we do about that?
Get more sleep.
Yeah, Patrick from Thornlands, what do you reckon it is?
Mate, I'm with you, Marto. Big heads on their phone.
I remember Mark Scaife, and that's why it's not my idea. Mark Scaife reckons it's the new drunk driving. That's what he said. This is far worse than drunk driving is texting driving. So that'll do me. He's a huge... Because it takes your eye off the road for a second and that could be 40, 50 metres.
Yeah. One more? Okay.
Mick from Brackenridge, you're a truck driver too, aren't you?
Yeah, here you go. I've been driving trucks in Brisbane for 25 years. 3 years as a bike courier a few years ago.
Jesus.
People just don't care about each other. Like, people, motorists and people are two different creatures. Like, the amount of abuse you hurl at people and the amount of abuse that gets hurled at you, you wouldn't say that while you're standing next to each other.
No, it's true.
Everyone's That's an excellent point. Yeah, you don't see people sort of shouting at each other or giving each other gestures on the sidewalk. Like if you bump into someone in the city, you don't go or come close to it, you know. But you get in a car, you're right, and your attitude can change.
And even police get tickets from other police. You know, traffic cops will give other cops speeding tickets in patrol cars.
Will they?
I know police that have had speeding tickets in their patrol cars because they weren't going anywhere important.
Oh, man, you'd have to lose your police badge if you did that.
It's getting the numbers up for no reason.
I want to talk about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Sure.
Well, the hard man of Hollywood.
Yeah, well, he's just broken up with another girlfriend. Does this man not want to settle down? I don't understand.
Say that again.
I just said he's broken up with another girlfriend.
The next bit.
I feel like a lamb to the slaughter. Does this man not want to settle down?
Let's just let that settle for a second.
Hold on. I'm looking over. You can't see it from your side. I'm looking over at some of the girls he's dated.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Oh,
right.
My God. What a smorgasbord.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're all blonde.
Yeah.
And they've all got legs up to my armpits. And most of them are models.
And big chests. And tight tummies. Lots
of, yes.
Wow, they're good photos.
Blake Lively was in that group. Ralph, what's the name?
Well, she got, Lively got kicked to the curb in Australia. He made a big song and dance about when he came out to film Gatsby in Sydney, and he got that big mansion on the harbour near where Malcolm Turnbull lives.
Yeah, what happened?
And then he goes, I knew some people working on that film.
Yeah.
So he got this big mansion out there, and then Blake Lively, I think he was singing at the time, was like, great, coming over soon, babe. And there was a great photo of her arriving in Sydney.
Yeah.
And then the next day just leaving in Sydney.
Oh. No.
And then poor
Leonardo. See, Australia's not a BYO nation. You know,
what?
There's plenty of local.
There's plenty of local. You eat local. Yeah. You go local when you come in.
Yeah, well, if you're a Leonardo DiCaprio, you possibly could. But, you know, there was Giselle, the supermodel, who's now with that.
Was he with Giselle Bundchen?
Yeah.
Wow.
With Tom Brady.
Yeah, before she got with Tom Brady.
God, he goes all
There was
right.
Bar Raphael, that other Victoria's Secret model. Yep. I mean, you know, he's to
How many do you reckon he's got
Valeretta?
Going there? How many photos? If you're flicking through photos there, how many? Is there 20
well,
or 30?
No, it's 12, I'm being told. Yep. Helena Christensen. Wow,
another model.
Get off with him.
Hey, in what space of time? Like the last 3 years or so?
Oh, yeah. Something like Claire Danes he probably dated. No,
but
he did
are
date
the
in
famous
96.
Ones. He'd be jagging a few on Naomi Tuesday nights
Campbell.
And stuff.
Did he have Naomi Campbell?
No, you're just reading out names
I'm
now.
I'm not. I'm going through. No, I literally Googled Leonardo DiCaprio's ex-girlfriends.
Well, what is the top of the screen
Do you know what?
Leonardo DiCaprio's impressive roster of ex-girlfriends. That's the title.
He'd be doing that too. He would have bought that magazine and gone, did I go out with Naomi? I did go out with Naomi Campbell. That's right.
He didn't answer me the question though. Why doesn't he want to settle down?
Because he... What? There's an old saying, Robin.
I think we just answered.
Yeah. There's an old saying, which is, you're only as faithful as your options.
And when your options are every woman in the world at all times, it might be hard to settle down. Because the second he gets this phone call, this is a, this, yeah, I love right this. The second he gets this phone call.
Ring, ring.
Hey, Leo. My parents are wondering if you could come to our Easter picnic. It's actually really funny. We all wear ear bunny ears and we run around chasing eggs.
Boop, boop.
Yep. See you later. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tallis. Gordy Tallis, just before the big weekend of football. You'll see him on Fox Sports. You'll hear him on the M's. And Gordy, obviously got the Bronx tonight, and hopefully there's going to be some tickets on offer with thanks to the Broncos Leagues Club. Gordy, did you see Morgan's performance for the Cowboys last night? Was that, it's a little bit worrying for the Origin, was it not?
Oh, no, not really. Look, mate, I thought the week before he was absolutely outstanding, and I thought just going into that rep week, and then obviously Cronulla, you know, they are a pack, like they all hunt like a pack, and there's a lot of those guys actually playing for Origin spots themselves. So they targeted him. He doesn't have much support, and Lachlan Coote as well, I saw once when, you know, Luke Little sprinted out and got him. So there was only two, and the Cowboys forward pack got outplayed. So I don't care how good your halfback is. There was only two blokes to dominate when your forward pack got dominated. That's Andrew Johns and Wally Lewis. And other than that, so many have tried and so many have failed.
Right. Fifita was amazing last night. But what about Thursday? Do you know any inside word? Is he going to be right origin-wise?
Well, they're not sure. Look, he is a quick healer, right? Because you can't play 36 origins, right, without healing quick and getting all
amazing.
These...
Amazing.
But he was named on the bench for the Cowboys, so that's a positive sign. Kevy, who I spoke with, wasn't 100% sure he gets Goody. They think I'm joking. I don't think he's going to play. Kevy said to me, I don't think he'll be right. So that's just the coach ticking all the boxes. I said, mate, well, good luck, you know. And I don't really care who Kevy picks because I think it'll go down to who Cameron Cooper and Billy or Darius want to play with. But let's hope that... But Thurston will go in the camp. Thurston will get probably until the Tuesday captain run. Yeah. And then it'll be up to a doctor. Because it's not so much the range, because I think he's got the range back. But if it happens again, it's the season. So it's whether you want to do that to the Cowboys, whether you want to do that to Jonathan Thurston at the age he is, give him like a bung shoulder for the rest of his life.
Hey, Gordy, it's beanies for brain cancer round for the NRL. Are you going to wear a beanie tonight?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I watched the Women in League. They interviewed Brett Camorley, who lost his wife this year, very, very suddenly. And she fought her. So 1 year ago, his life was perfect. You know, was coaching on TV, doing all that. And it's been turned upside down. And I watched, you know, Broncos' own Paul White, who's going through the same thing, get there and choke talking about it. So it actually kills a lot of people. Like, you don't realise. And Matty Callender, who's been around our game, so it's actually sort of pretty prevalent in our game. So, of course, I'm going to wear a beanie. It's a great cause. And with this bald head, Robin, I need to hide it as much as possible. So there's two big kicks for me.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah. Listen, it's going to be a huge weekend of footy.
Absolutely.
And,
our friends at the Broncos League Club, by the way, Ed, do have the best milkshakes ever. That is one thing I can
best
guarantee.
Milkshake.
What?
Really?
I thought you were going to say tickets.
No. Yes. Look, they've actually given me three family passes to give away.
We love the Broncos. Gordon,
are we talking malted milk or thickies?
No. Oh, mate, I'm talking about go get a chocolate milk. It comes out in the old silver tin. They don't put it in the plastic.
Does it tickle?
It is by far the best. Oh, it is unbelievable.
Jeez.
You never cease to amaze me, Gordon Tallis.
Look at that. Is a fantastic. I'm going to go and get
go
one.
Go and play the pokies. Get yourself $20 worth of change and go and have the pokies and just enjoy that milkshake. It's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. We got to let you bounce. 133353. Thanks to the
family passes.
Okay. Thank Thanks you, to the Broncos Leagues Club, 133353 if you want to go along and see the Broncos. See you, good.
Well, the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, of course, on next year. We all know all about it. But the big thing is there's been heaps of ticket requests. We just want to ask the big boss, the chairman of the Gold Coast Organising Committee, Peter Beattie, how are things going ticket-wise, mate?
Well, morning, guys. Yeah, pretty good. But the important thing here is people have until 1 minute to midnight on Monday to get their applications in for the ticket. So it's still not too late. And it's not first in best dress. So
if you apply on today and someone applies on Monday, you all get treated equally. But midnight on Monday night, that's the close, and then it goes into a ballot for the really high-demand ticket.
Have you had to pay your money, or you've just got the request in?
What you do, when you put the request in, they obviously need to make sure that you've got a valid credit card, which they then check, but the money doesn't go out until you're actually allocated the tickets.
Right.
So not everyone will go into a ballot, of course. There will be some where you will get first in, best dressed.
Gotcha.
And I'll let you in for a little secret. When you apply, if you want to get A tickets, apply for B tickets as well. And if you get A, B drops off. If you don't get A, you then go to B. So it increases your chances.
Okay.
Just a little secret for your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
Here's the thing though, Pete, and I've been online a couple of times because I've got three very sporty kids. If you apply for lots of sports because all three of them have two picks each, does that limit your chances? Like if you're potentially greedy like we are?
No.
Okay, good.
No, what it does, Robin, is this. All your applications go in and it's done on a numerical basis. So the more you apply for them, that increases your chances. Yeah. There are only three sports where we've limited the number of tickets, and that's because they're in high-demand areas like the swimming finals and so on, and they've been limited to four. There are some other sports where the limit is 20 and so on, and we did that just to be fair. We want to make certain as many families as possible can get in. So it all works very well, but time's running out, so hopefully
get on board.
People will apply, and we look forward to it. So when sales are going really well, but still there's 1.2 million tickets, so hopefully we'll sell all of them.
And Pete, I was very impressed that I saw you and your lovely wife Heather on Mount Cootha trying to get fit in time for the Commonwealth Games. You had walking sticks, Pete. Good on you.
Well done, Robin. You've been following our moves. That's exactly right. We are trying to get fit. I just thought it would be a bad example if I turned up looking like Tubby Tuba and everyone's running around looking fit. So I was trying to get some weight off and look like I was part of the games. Not that I'm going to compete in any manner, shape or form, but you know, I was trying to look good. So, Robin, thank you. That was very kind of you.
Peter Beattie, the chairman of the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games Organising Committee. You can get those ticket requests at www.gc2018.com/tickets. Peter Beattie, we'll speak to you soon, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. All the best.